and welcome to the Search CRM podcast, Creating Customer Value with Peppers and Rogers. I'm Amanda Malgieri, assistant editor. In the February installment of our podcast series, Don Peppers answers readers' questions on customer equity. How does customer value change over time? Be sure to check out Peppers and Rogers' latest book, Rules to Break and Laws to Follow. It's available on Amazon.com.
We have a question. Many companies focus on attracting and retaining high-value customers. Should we also focus on attracting and retaining low-value customers that may be worth more in the future? Yes, I think you should. It's important to try to cultivate longer and better relationships with customers who have growth potential. The trick is to know which customers have that kind of potential. To understand better the unrealized potential value of a customer, first, take a close look at the attributes of customers that already have the highest lifetime values in your modeling system. That is, your most valuable customers, or what Martha Rogers and I call MVCs. These attributes that they might have may include demographic details such as age, gender, income, number of children, or it could include other descriptive characteristics. If you have a customer with similar attributes as an MVC, but with lower values based on historic and predicted purchase transactions and costs, then you just might have someone whose value could be substantially increased. Another question. In the past, my company measured performance against sales, but today we're being asked to care more about customer value. But we can't do any serious customer analysis because we're challenged with getting the data. Do you have any suggestions for turning this around? Yes, I do have some suggestions. First, there's no such thing as a free lunch, and in marketing, there's no substitute for hard work. Getting the data is the best thing you can do, but in the absence of any ability to bring in better data, what I can recommend would be to do some testing. Draw some samples of customers from your customer base, pull the data on these customers manually if necessary, and try to build your business case. Even without detailed customer value data, however, you can still implement policies that will have the effect of increasing customer value. You just won't be able to quantify it. The most effective such policy would be to ensure that every customer action is designed to increase the trust that customers have in your business. Customers overwhelmingly choose to do business with vendors they trust the most. So earning a customer's trust requires you to act always in the customer's own interest, even when sometimes that might mean foregoing an immediate sales opportunity. If a customer wants to buy something from you that you know is larger or more expensive than they really need, acting in the customer's interest would require you to cancel the customer not to make the purchase, which means giving up current revenue but securing immense customer loyalty in the process, not to mention word-of-mouth benefits. A really good example of this currently, I've seen it written up and I experienced it myself, is how Amazon treats its customers. If you go onto Amazon.com and you're a regular customer there and you click on a book and put it in your shopping cart, but you've already bought that book a month ago or 6 months ago, Amazon will give you a message. Don't forget you already own this book. Now, clearly, simply taking your money is the most effective thing for them to do in the short term, but imagine the goodwill they earn from customers over the long term by watching out for the customer's own interests and not letting customers spend more money than they have to through their own error. So even in the absence of data, in the absence of metrics and analytics, my advice is if you want to maximize the value your customers create, then always treat the customer the way you yourself would want to be treated if you were the customer. That means taking the customer's point of view, always looking at your business from the outside in, from the customer's viewpoint, rather than from the inside out, the product's viewpoint. Question. In a few large organizations where I've worked, there was rapid turnover in the CMO position. In your eyes, is CMO tenure so short because they're not interested in long-term results in terms of customer value, or is it just job churn? Well, first, I think there's more job turnover than is healthy in many corporate management positions, not just CMOs. However, marketing is a good deal more dynamic and fluid than even many other business disciplines, finance and accounting, for instance. And so the CMO position probably suffers even more from rapid turnover. Yes, frankly, some of it probably is due to the short-termism that is rampant within corporate boardrooms. However, if a company were to follow Martha Rogers and my advice and to put metrics in place like return on customer that allowed it to assess the long-term customer value created or destroyed with current period actions, then it wouldn't matter that much when CMOs change jobs, because we'd still be able to hold today's CMO accountable for the long-term customer value effects of his current actions. Question: do current marketing trends reflect a focus on customer value? Can you give some examples? More and more, we see customer value rising to the level of an important but perhaps not yet critical metric in evaluating most companies' marketing efforts. Many non-financial metrics already emphasize customer value issues. Net Promoter Score, for instance, or the customer side of balanced scorecard. Those are tools that managers use to ensure that their companies don't focus exclusively on measurable current period sales. Instead, these systems provide other current period metrics that also have long-term effects. We hear professionals in a wide range of companies today commenting frequently on the issue of protecting the value of their customer base or increasing the value of their customer base. And we think that that's a healthy sign.
Thanks to Don Peppers for sharing his insight on customer equity and customer value. Be sure to join us next month for the next installment of our podcast series. Until then, I'm Amanda Malgieri for CertCRM.